Well, good afternoon, everyone, or good evening, I should say. It's a pleasure to be here, and thank you for being in church tonight. Brother Mike asked me to go over, give an update over the ministry, and I will. My letter just came out today, so I try to do them at least once a quarter. I wish I could do them more, but I just... prayer letters are difficult for me, but God has been working. God's been doing things. Maybe if I would just maybe read the prayer letter, and because it says it all. And so I want to begin by expressing that my family and Rock of Ages are ever grateful for your dedicated support and prayers, which is very true. Thank you. Since our last prayer letter in January, professions of faith in Christ. Since our last prayer in January, we have given out 75 Bibles and seen 79 youth make professions of faith in Christ. That would not be possible without your, you know, sending us and partnering with us. And you certainly do that. I recently received a message from one of the newer managers at the Juvenile Detention Center, asking me to contact him. It's rarely a good news when you get such a message from a manager, but after returning his call, I realized that he was a solid Christian man who genuinely appreciated the service we offer to the youth in the facility. When I responded to him, he followed up with a personal letter saying, "It's a blessing to have you share the gospel each time you're here, Brother Rick. It is something that is being curtailed in our nation and in our state's public service and government agencies. We appreciate all you do. And likewise, if I can better support your ministry or have any ideas, please don't hesitate to reach out." So that was the manager. Yeah. Many of the country and state employees are incredibly supportive, and I cannot believe the freedom we have been given. They were so accommodating during the COVID shutdowns, and I often have youth remind me how they came to Christ during a Zoom meeting in a chapel service. We do have our share of problems out here in the western states. Often the things that happen here in Portland even make national news. But God is still working, and lately it has been common to have close to 100% of the youth in my two county facilities attend services. God is not finished saving souls. "Occupy until I come," Luke 19:13. "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work," John 9:4. "And some have compassion, making a difference," Jude 22. Upon entering a unit one day, I saw two boys who were separated from the general population because of their age, both being only 13 years old. They agreed to let me share the Bible story with them. And by the time I finished explaining how Christ showed his love on the cross, I could see one of the boys beginning to tear up. Praise the Lord, both trusted Christ that evening. I gave both of them Bibles. And the next week, one of my volunteers reported that one of them had already read 50 pages of the Bible. His name is Mike, and it turns out he's a runaway. When he told me his parents didn't like him, I thought he must have burned some bridges with them. But he soon clarified that they had never liked him or wanted him. I could tell he was telling the truth. Please pray for Mike and many others like him. Another day I was requested to come to the girls' unit, only to find a 17-year-old girl waiting for me, asking me to help her know the Lord better. She said her name was Sandra and that she was a Christian, but I soon gathered that she did not have a clear understanding of salvation. After sharing the truth with her from the Bible, she received Christ that very morning. She has a drug addiction and recently has overdosed to the point her heart stopped. They revived her. I told her God has a purpose for her life, and I will give her and will give her victory over this. She is so grateful and assured me that I have been a huge help in her recovery. Please pray for Sandra and others like her in the institution with addictions. Recently, we have seen an increase of Spanish-speaking youth in the facilities, and many of them come to chapel services faithfully. It is such a blessing to see how the staff, again the staff, or other youth who are able to have, have been willing to translate for me during the services or individual counseling. Many have come to Christ through this. God always provides for us as we do his work. The facilities I work in reach from Woodburn, Oregon to Longview, Washington, which includes the three of the largest counties in Oregon. Chances are if a juvenile is incarcerated in this region, they will receive a clear gospel message while they are in detention. It's difficult to describe in words how amazing it is to watch God work in this field. Thank you again for supporting. Please reach out to us if there's any way Marta and I can be a blessing. And then it just lists the four institutions we're in. And pray for those: Columbia River, Cowlitz County Juvenile, Longview, Washington, Donald D. Long in Portland, and McLaren, a state facility in Oregon. And so thank you for being a part of that. It goes to your account as you pray and as you support and sending me into these institutions. God is working. God is working. And so good. Let's go ahead and open up our Bible. Let's look at John chapter 14. Verse 1, John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Let's jump down to verse 27, John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So this evening I want to talk about how to have a peaceful life. What does the Bible say about a peaceful life? Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we're thankful again for the opportunity. I'm thankful for just the opportunity to be here and to open up your word. And my goal is to be an encouragement, to be a help to the listener today. And Lord, I need your help to do that. And please help us now. Again, I'm thankful for Pastor Stewart and the opportunity that he's given me to be here. I do pray you bless him and his family as he's away enjoying a very important event in his daughter's life. And I just pray, Lord, you bless and give them everything they need to have a good trip. But we need your help here, Lord. And as I speak on how to have a peaceful life, I pray that you would help us here. In Jesus' name, amen. So we live in a world, right, full of turmoil. And sensible people are searching for answers. And many are experiencing false peace. We turn to different things for peace. That doesn't offer true hope or satisfaction in life. So real peace is only found in the genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where you're going to find peace, peace with God through his son, Jesus Christ. So I want to look in the Bible a little bit here this evening about how to have a peaceful life. So what does peaceful mean in the first place? In the dictionary, the American Heritage Dictionary, it says this, undisturbed by strife. It's a good definition. Turmoil or disagreement. Tranquil. So peace, when you think of peace, undisturbed by strife, turmoil, or disagreement. Having a tranquil life is just peace. But the truth is, there's a lot of strife, huh? And there's turmoil. But yet, as believers, we could have peace. We ought to look for the peace of God. The Scottish preacher, George Morrison, defined peace as the possession of adequate resources. In other words, you have what you need. And that's what peace is. So we live in a world with anxiety, a lack of peace often invades our life when we become worried. We worry, right? We all have things going on in our life. Some of you even today are concerned. Maybe it's money to cover your expenses. Hopefully not here, but sometimes people can't even buy food enough. We have problems and we don't know the answers to those problems. Things happen. Life happens. Medical issues happen. And it's easy to have a lack of peace. And when we think of spiritual things, maybe some are worried about what's going to happen after death. We need forgiveness. While we need forgiveness, that's true, to redeem our soul, and we don't have that peace in our life. So God provided his children. God has provided his children with physical and spiritual resources. And it's available, as we know, through Jesus Christ. So we need Christ. And if you're saved today, you understand that. Psalms chapter 34, verse 10 says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. We need the Lord, and he provides for us, and he gives us what we need. Psalms 84, verse 11 says this, for the Lord God is a sun, S-U-N, and a shield. He provides for us. He gives us a beautiful day. He gives us the sun. He protects us. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will be withheld from them that walk uprightly. Praise the Lord for that. We have a promise in God. He'll take care of us. He'll meet our needs. He's the resources that we need. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So God provides his children with peace, physical and spiritual peace, through Jesus Christ. We need to know Christ. So the first thing, if a person's going to have true peace in their life, they need to be born again. They need to be saved. Every week I'm in the facility, and primarily I want to make sure that they know Christ, because that's the foundation to everything that's going to help them. And if they don't have God, if they don't have the Holy Spirit, no matter what we do for them, it's just very temporary or doesn't work. They need God. They need salvation. They need to be saved. It's the foundation. We need to be saved. We need to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ to even begin to have peace in our life. Because first, the first step in having peace is having peace with God. We need to have peace with God. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, it's talking about if you're going to get peace, you need to be saved. You need Jesus Christ. That's where you're going to get peace. You need to have peace with God first. Salvation. You need to get saved. You need to know Christ. I have a volunteer who works with me, and he goes to most of the facilities with me. He's retired and he's faithful, and he goes and he loves to go, and he struggles sometimes because he wants to see fruit, and so do I. I want to see fruit. I want to see a changed life. And I get that. And I always remind him, he says, yeah, I don't know if they got saved. I'm not sure. And I says, well, that's between God and them. Our job is just the messenger. And by the way, they'll never change. They'll never be able to have a fruitful life unless they have Christ first. And so we need to get the gospel to them. They need the Holy Spirit in their lives. And that's the main thing. When we keep the main thing, and let God work in their hearts and their lives. But if they're not even saved, it's not going to even begin to happen. So they need peace with God. And again, we must remind ourselves, peace is not the absence of conflict or pain. Some of you are suffering conflict today and pain, maybe. Life happens, doesn't it, even to the believer? But what peace does, it brings the presence of the Lord in somebody's life. God will be with us through the pain, through the conflict. So just because we have salvation doesn't mean we're not going to live, we're not going to have problems, we're not going to have issues. But what it does mean, we're going to have those problems and issues with God, with Christ. Boy, what a wonderful thing to have Him. So one spiritual resource we find in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, it says this, blessed be God. Blessed be the God of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And so we got God's blessings. We need God's blessings. We need His help. And even through the conflict and through the pain, we need God's blessings. And Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7, it says, in whom we have a redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So we need that peace of God. We need salvation. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 14, he says this, for He is our peace. God is our peace. Whom hath made both one and have broken down the middle wall, partition between us. So thank God when Christ died on the cross, He died for all and He chose us and He saved us. It wasn't just for the Jew, it was for the Gentile. And so we have salvation. We have the opportunity to have that peace. We were invited in to the family of God. Again, there's no peace if you don't have peace with God. We need to be saved. You need salvation. You need Christ. So when you're trying to help somebody, we could help them. And we could probably even physically meet a physical need. But they're never going to have that peace unless they know Christ. So it's important not just to help them physically, though we ought to, but we need to help them spiritually, that they could have peace. They could have peace with God. And that's what's going to be the solution to the problem, the main solution. Have peace with God. And so again, the reminder is, we read in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, it says this, "For unto us a child is born," Christmas verse, "unto us the son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called" what? "Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father." All those titles that Christ has. And then he says, "The Prince of Peace." So again, it's Jesus. We emphasize this. We need to have peace with God. And when we have peace with God, it's through Jesus Christ. We've been made right with God because of the cross, because of the blood. And when you trust Christ, when you believe, when you accept, you're able to get that peace with God. So in order, again, to emphasize this, you need salvation to even begin to have peace. And it's the peace of God. The next step is to have the peace of God. So we need, first of all, we must have peace with God, but then there must be peace of God, the peace of God in your life. You see the two different things. You have peace with God, but now we want the peace of God. Yeah, we need the peace of God. Philippians chapter 4 verse 6, "Be careful for nothing." Many of us are anxious. We worry. We stress. He says, "Be anxious for nothing," or "be careful for nothing. But in everything by" what? "Prayer." The key thing is prayer. If you want the peace of God, we need to pray. We need to pray. What a tool that God has given us. And I often say, and I confess, and I've probably said this many times from this pulpit, we don't pray enough. I don't pray enough. We need peace, right? And the key to peace is prayer. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." So we need to communicate. I was teaching yesterday in the facility. I says, we've been teaching on knowing God's will for your life. And number one, they must understand that God has a purpose for their life. God has a purpose for every one of our lives. He has a plan. He has a journey. He has the steps ordered for us. Some of it is in general. We all know what those things are, but some of us have specific tasks that God wants us to fulfill. And so, what I was getting at, we have this journey, and I was teaching that part of knowing that journey is communicating with God. Of course, it's reading the Word of God, and one of those things is prayer. We need to ask. We need to talk to Him. We need to surrender ourselves to Him. So we need that prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. "Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." In the juvenile detention center, I see a lot of mental illness, we might call it, and it's a sad thing. People lose their minds. A lot of it's due to the drugs and their upbringing or whatever they've been exposed to. It's a awful, 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 terrible thing. to lose your mind for a lot of different reasons. But again, I'm reminded because of this verse that we could come to God in prayer and we could ask Him for healing and we could ask Him for help. And the promise is He shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God could fix that. That's why it's so important that we get saved, number one, and that people know Christ, and so that we have peace with God, and then now we could get the peace of God in our lives. But we can't do, it can't be backwards, or it can't be the opposite. We must know Christ first and have peace with God, and then we could get the peace of God in our lives. And it's the key thing is prayer. We need to pray. God gives us that spiritual resource of we could pray, and He wants to meet our needs. But there must be the peace of God. So what does that mean? How does it come to life? The word careful means, careful refers to being anxious. And then the answer to those anxiousness in our life is the key thing is prayer. We need to pray. We need to ask God for help. And I can't stress that enough. Prayer gives peace. We need to ask God for peace. What's the problem that you're dealing with? Even the Terrazas family, we pray every night and we have the list that we pray for. And of course, certain things come up that are in front of us that we're dealing with that day, or somebody that we're concerned about that day, or something within our own family. And so what's the solution? And it kind of brings what I said, conflict, or it brings, pain. That's a problem, right? So what do you do? The answer to that, the key to that is prayer. Bring it before God. Let God deal with it. Let God fix it. Bring it before Him. But if you don't bring it up, He wants us to bring it up. He wants to answer our prayer. We have not because what? We ask not. We want peace. We need to ask for it. We need to bring it up. He wants to help us. And so, what does God say about a peaceful life? I don't know about you. I want a peaceful life. John chapter 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. God has overcome the world. And so we need Him, we need His peace, we need His power. That's Jesus speaking, that we might have peace. So again, we want to overcome the world. We have tribulation in your life. The promise is that we could have peace. So a peaceful life comes through knowing Christ personally. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 2, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the reminder is we need Christ. So the action is knowing Christ personally, having a personal relationship with Christ. A peaceful life comes through the Holy Spirit power. Thank God. And we get saved. What happens? There's a lot of things that happen, but one of the main things that happens is the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells within us. Thank God for that. Huh? We have the Holy Spirit living within us. And a peaceful life comes through the Holy Spirit power. We need the Holy Spirit power in our life. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So He involves there joy peace. We want joy. Of course, the topic tonight is peace. He wants to fill us with joy and peace. The Holy Spirit can do that. That ye may abound in hope. You want hope? You want a sure thing? It's through the power of the Holy Ghost. Without the Holy Ghost, there's no hope. And we need hope. We look and we're looking and we have a problem and there's pain and there's conflict in our life. And the problem with that is if there's no hope, it's not going to be done away with. But the Holy Spirit that lives within you wants to give you joy, peace, and believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. So if you're not saved, you'll never have the Holy Ghost, so you'll never have the peace of God or the peace that God wants us. Galatians chapter 5 verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, and there it is, peace. The Holy Spirit brings joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. So I tell Brother Chris, my volunteer, is, you know what? If they don't have the Holy Spirit, they'll never have joy. They'll never have love. They'll never have peace. They won't have long suffering. They won't have gentleness. They won't have goodness. All these things, a requirement for change in their life, their victory in their life, requires the Holy Spirit in their life. So let's get the Holy Spirit in their life. And let God be able to do what He wants to do in our lives. And what does He want to do? He wants to bring joy. He wants to bring peace. He wants to bring long suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Meekness, temperance, against such things there is no law. And they that are in Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Yielding ourselves to the Holy Spirit is important. If we don't yield, we won't see the fruits of the Holy Spirit. We could quench the Spirit and we could fight against the Spirit, but we won't have that joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Meekness, temperance. So a peaceful life comes through the Holy Spirit's power. And we need the Holy Spirit's power. It's hard for me sometimes, and that's between them and God, but if you're a Christian, and if you're bitter, and if you're angry, and if you're mean, and if you're bad, and if you don't have faith, and you're not gentle, and you don't have any joy or love in your life, there's a problem. There's no evidence of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit and we need to let Him rule and reign in our lives if we're going to ever have the peace, have a peaceful life. And so, and again, we need the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, a peaceful life comes through the Word of God. We need to be in the book. We need to study the Word of God. We need to read it. The Word of God changes a person's life. Psalms 119, 165, great peace have they, which what? Love thy law. It's the word of God. Love the word. And nothing shall offend them. We need to be in the word of God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing and one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So we need to be in the Word, and what the Word is saying is teaching us what's going to give us peace in our life, and it's praising God and being faithful to God and following, not just be hearers of the Word of God, but doers of the Word of God, and God's going to give you a peaceful life. And again, I remind you, that doesn't mean there's not going to be any pain, there's not going to be any conflict in your life, but if you're in God's will, you're in a great place, and God will get you through. But we need the Holy Spirit. We need the Word of God. We certainly need Jesus Christ to have that peace. And then it's one thing to read the Word of God, but we need to apply it. We need to be obedient to it. Proverbs 16, verse 7, when man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. So a peaceful life comes through living an obedient life. We need to follow him. We need to be obedient to God. I need to surrender to his will, to his purpose. Allow him through prayer and through the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit working in my life, and then just saying, okay, whatever you say, I'm going to do. Surrender. Surrendering to God. We need to surrender to him, be obedient to him. Isaiah 57:19, I create the, let me read that again. Isaiah 57:19, I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire. There is no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. So again, we must, if we're going to have peace, we must yield ourselves to him. We must be obedient to him. Because if the wicked and the disobedient won't ever have peace, according to this verse, there is no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. And if we want peace, how to have a peaceful life, we need to be obedient to our Lord. And we need to submit. We need to submit to the Lord. Submission, a peaceful life comes through submission to the spiritual leadership. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13 says this, And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Verse 13, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. And, again, God has given us spiritual leaders, pastor, Sunday school teacher, spiritual leaders, and we need to submit. We need to listen. We need to hear. We need to take advice. We need to trust. And if we're rebellious in that, we're not going to have the peace, according to Scripture here. And so we need to submit. And submission involves submitting to our spiritual leaders. With the Word of God, number one, it's God. And for especially children, it's your parents. Hopefully they're spiritual leaders. And even in a church setting, we have leaders. We have a pastor. We have a shepherd. And we ought to submit. And if we're rebellious or if we're fighting against what they're saying or whatever, God says, you're not going to have the peace. And so we need to be careful. And then a peaceful life comes through, growing in grace. We need to grow in our spiritual walk. We need to keep going forward. We ought not stay a baby. We ought to grow spiritually. We learn, we grow. Be careful for nothing. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So as a Christian, we ought to have that peace. Again, be careful. Don't worry. Don't stress. Don't be so anxious. But be content. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer. But we ought to pray. Let's pray again. Let's give it to the Lord. And we need to get to that point. And I want to get to that point where we're going to trust the Lord. And the problem comes and the issues come. And we're just going to say, oh, here it is. I need the Holy Spirit. I need the Word of God. I want to be obedient. I want to be submissive. And I want to grow in grace. And so I'm going to allow this thing to happen in my life, because God will be with me through the pain and through the conflict. And we're going to just bring it before Him and say, God, I need help. Help me here. It's yours. You're going to carry us through. You're going to provide. I remember, and I probably used some of these illustrations, but I'll use it again. But life happens, right? Life happens even to the Tarazas family. Things happen. And my son had some, does have health issues. And every once in a while, we would get stressed out, or the insurance would say, we're not going to do this anymore. We're not going to provide this anymore. And it became almost like a comical, because every year or every 2 years, these issues would come. And what would we do? At the beginning, we used to stress. We used to worry. I used to be on the phone. I used to fight. I used to get mad. I used to argue with these people. But as years went on, what we've learned to do, hey, here it is again. What are we going to do? We're going to pray. Amen. We're going to give it to the Lord. He's taken care of it for the last 10 years. Why won't He do it again this year? And that's the way we've learned to be. And whatever the issue is in your life, we need to learn to just turn it over to the Lord. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And when you do that, you know what happens? The natural result is, and the peace of God. Which passeth all understanding. Oh man, I can't even believe I'm not worried about this. Yeah.
Right.
Because I know God's going to take care of it. My pastor recently, he had a child, and the doctors told them that, you know what, I don't think your child, when she was pregnant with Rachel was pregnant with the baby, he was sharing a testimony where they told him they were headed to a missions trip this last year and to Honduras, right? And the doctor said, you know what, we don't think your baby's going to make it. It's not growing. It's too small. And that was like news to them. They're ready to take this missions trip. And they put a pause on it, and they says, well, we probably can't go. And he was saying, and I of course we lived this through with him, but he was saying that, you know, okay, I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to go. There's some urgent things that happen. And the doctors, he didn't mention that the doctor said that it probably wouldn't be able to be born. But he prayed. And he prayed. And it was getting close to the missions trip, and they already had to schedule the doctor's appointment. And as you do, you go on your regular appointments, and they were checking the baby and seeing what size it was and all this. And they said, you know what? There's nothing wrong with your baby. We don't see anything wrong. It's just normal. Yeah, she's a little small. But besides that, everything's pretty good. Matter of fact, they said, could we go to this mission trip? Yeah, you could go. There's nothing wrong. We'll keep an eye on it. And so again, it was a high-risk pregnancy, and he was mentioning to us again that when she was born, of course, we all knew and we were praying, and the baby wasn't, they said, you know what, your baby won't have any muscle, and I don't know if she'll be able to walk or to anything of that sort. And he prayed. He prayed, and they prayed, and they had people praying. And the baby was born, had some trouble breathing. And so they put it in, they send it to the, what do you call that, the intensive care for babies. And so they had to go to that hospital, and he was kind of sharing the testimony about, and you know what, he wasn't real concerned. It's not that he wasn't concerned, I wouldn't say that, but he had the peace of God.
Yeah.
That's what it was. It was like, you know, I prayed about this. And they brought the baby home. They was able to get it to where it needed to be to go home. And the little baby, what's the baby's name? I'm sorry. Hannah. Little baby Hannah. She's a tiny little baby. She's a little baby. All those preemie clothes were huge on her. Yeah. And so it was a tiny baby. She had some issues. But, you know, they went to their next appointment, and they said, you know what? Her muscle's fine. She's going to be fine. She's little, but she'll be fine. And she's fine. And it was because, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Man, I can't believe what God did. It's amazing how he worked. Which passeth all understanding. And the doctors come and they say, you know, there's nothing wrong here. And he shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now I know, I'm not ignorant that sometimes we don't get that news from the doctor that everything is fine. But again, I remind you, yeah, there's going to be pain. There's going to be conflict in our life. But some of you have been there and you've got through it, and it's because God gives you peace through it. You'll survive. Doesn't mean you don't have pain. Doesn't mean you don't have suffering. But God is with you through it all. And you don't have to turn to anything else but to God. And God will grow you in grace. We need to trust God. So a peaceful life comes through complete trust in a loving, powerful God. We have a loving and we have a powerful God. Do you have a loving God today? Amen. Do you have a powerful God today? Yes, you do. You do. Psalms 29 verse 11 says, the Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless people with peace. Psalms 56:3 says this, what time I am afraid, I will trust thee. In God, I will praise his word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. What a testimony. Because you have peace. Bring it on. Okay, it's happening again. But God has got me through every other time he could get me through this time. Because God is powerful. And we need to trust him because we have a powerful God. Psalms 85 verse 8, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. He will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. God wants to bring peace to us, but we need to trust him. Are you trusting him? Do you understand that you have a powerful God? You do. But we need to trust him. He's not going to let harm come to us. We could trust him because he's powerful. The enemies and the foes are against us. But if we're with God, we could trust him because he's more powerful than those enemies and those foes in our life. We need to get to the place where we just fully trust him. He's going to get us through because he is a good God. He is all powerful and we need to trust him. So what steps can we pursue to practice a peaceful life? Renewing our minds. We got to change our thinking. We got to change our thinking. I've been teaching the kids. We've been talking about, like I said, being in God's will. And part of being in God's will is just surrendering to him. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves, your bodies, I should say, a living sacrifice. Here I am, Lord. I'm yours. I'm surrendering to you. I fully surrender. Holy, that word holy, I teach those kids, you know what holy is? And they don't know what holy means. And I says, you have ever seen a Bible and it says holy Bible on it? You know what that means? No, I'm not sure what that means. That holy means it's set apart for a purpose. And as Christians, we need to set ourselves apart for a purpose. God wants to accomplish some things in our life, but in order for him to accomplish those things, I need to set myself apart for his purpose. It's making some changes in my life. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. So many of us were so worldly, even as Christians. But be transformed, what? By the renewing of your mind. Let's change our thinking. Let's totally trust God. Let's yield ourselves to him. Let's yield to the Holy Spirit. Let's yield to the Word of God. Let's yield and be obedient. Surrender to him. And you're going to have the peace of God. Second Corinthians 10:3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds. Verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. All those negative thinking that you have in your brain, we need to take them captive. We need to surrender them to God. We'll have the peace. Let this mind be in you, Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself. If Jesus humbles himself, we ought to humble ourselves and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So we need to humble ourselves before God. We need to yield ourselves before God. We need the renewing of the mind. We need to be obedient and humble ourselves to God. And then accept the gift of peace. It's yours. It belongs to you, belongs to us as a believer. John 14:27, and we'll end. Peace I leave unto you. He's leaving it unto us. It's ours. Just as Jesus speaking, and he's speaking to us. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, How does the world give us peace? Oh, here's a job. Here's money. Here's a house. Here's this. Here, we'll feed you. We'll do this for you. We'll do that. The world doesn't have the answer to peace. The president doesn't have the answer to peace. It comes from God. And we need to, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Are you afraid today? I know we have fears. I have them. I confess. But I need to accept that gift of peace. God wants to give us that peace. It's ours. It's ours. And we need to just trust Him. We need to be humble before Him. We need to be obedient. We need to change our thinking and worries and our stress and, and looking for all the peace in the wrong places. Easily said, I know, much harder to do, but it's ours. And we're reminding ourselves of the peace of God. How do you have peace? Well, we went through it today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we love you. We thank you for loving us and meeting our needs, helping us. The world looks through peace, through politics and things of that sort. That's not the answer. But spiritual peace is a sure thing if the Prince of Peace reigns in our hearts. Help us to have the Prince of Peace reign in our hearts. Lord, help us to lean on you. I have a feeling today that each person represented here has some things in their life they're anxious about. They're maybe concerned or worried about. I get it. I am too. But help us to practice what you told us and help us to surrender to you, to renew our mind, to be obedient, to be humble before you, and to accept the gift of peace that you offer us that comes from the Prince of Peace who reigns in our hearts. By chance, if there's somebody here today that doesn't know you as personal Savior, may they get to know you. May they trust you. They'll never, ever, ever get the gift of peace from God unless they have Jesus. They have the peace of God in their life. And if they're here today and they don't know Christ, you're unsure if you're saved, would you just let me know by raising a hand? I won't call you out. I just want to know so I could pray for you. Are you here today? You don't know Christ? Good. Father, Lord, help us. Help us now. Thank you again for your word and for your promises. Help us to live it out in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you and thank you.